After Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he senses their sadness and frustration. So he tells them, Va'ata al teyatzvu, don't be upset, don't be angry. This was all part of Hashem's master plan. I've been sent here to save the world from famine. And by the way, I've become kind of a big deal here in Mitzrayim. Vaisimeini la'av la'pare, I'm Pari's right-hand man. Ala'odin l'chol beisai, I've become the chief of staff. U'moishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, I rule over the entire land of Mitzrayim. Then Yosef tells his brothers, quickly go up to dad and tell him these exact words. So said your son Yosef, Sumani alekim la'odin l'chol Mitzrayim. Hashem has made me the ruler of the entire land of Mitzrayim. Come down and see me right away. Question is, to the brothers, Yosef describes himself as three things. Number one, Vaisemeni la'av la'pare. Number two, la'odin l'chol beisai. And number three, U'moishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. However, the message Yosef instructs his brothers to relate to his father is solely about number three, his position as the ruler of Egypt. And even in conveying this information, he deviates slightly. He adds Hashem's name. He says, Sumani alekim la'odin l'chol Mitzrayim. So why convey one message to his brothers and an entirely different one for his father? And perhaps the answer is, Yosef knew his father Yaakov was not interested in how high up the political ladder he had climbed in Mitzrayim. Whether he was the Secretary of State or Paris' chief political consultant, Yaakov also was not interested in the wealth Yosef amassed as a result of his power and business acumen. Perhaps the brothers would be impressed, and that is why he told them, but not Yaakov. So Yosef told his brothers to convey to his father only one message. Sumani alekim, I've placed Hashem la'odin l'chol Mitzrayim, over all of my accomplishments in Mitzrayim. Tell my father, over and above all my political achievements, my number one priority is the values and the ideals he taught me all those years ago. Despite my high-ranking position and all the honors and accolades I've received, I have not abandoned the ways of Torah and mitzvahs. That is what my father truly wants to hear. When the brothers finally arrived in Eretz Yisrael and they told Yaakov that Yosef was still alive, initially he did not believe them. But then, Vayar Sagalos, Yaakov saw the wagons that Yosef sent along, and then he believed them. So what about the wagons that made Yaakov a believer? So Rashi explains that Agalos is a play on words for the word Egla, meaning a calf. Yosef was hinting at the last topic that he and his father had studied together 22 years earlier, the sugya of Egla Arufa. And now Yaakov understood that Torah was first and foremost on the mind of his son Yosef, even after languishing in the depraved land of Mitzrayim for all those years. The values that Yaakov held dear really resonated with his son Yosef. The Torah tells us before Yosef passed away, he gathered his brothers and pleaded with them, V'hela eschem in ha'aretz hazois, please get me out of this land and take my body el ha'aretz asher nishba l'Avraham l'Yitzchak u'l'Yaakov. Take me to the promised land, to the land of my ancestors. Yosef understood that it was by divine providence that Hashem sent him to Mitzrayim to save the world from extinction. And he rose to great prominence, ruling over the greatest empire of the ancient world. But at the end of his life, he had only one request. Take me to the place of my ancestors, the place that's imbued with Kedusha. All this honor, fame, and fortune have no currency in the place where it really matters, in the next world. The Mishnah says in Avos, when a person departs from this world, aim alavan loy la'odim loy kesev loy zav. Not his gold or silver or any other material possessions escort him to the next world. Not all the political connections, not all the Twitter followers, all the likes on Facebook, not all the fancy homes and successful businesses. Ela Torah amasim toivim b'vat. Only the Torah you amassed and the good deeds you perform. There's a story told about a man that moved to a new country and started building himself a mansion. When people passed by, they looked at the construction and they chuckled, as if they were mocking him. Frustrated, he approached the Rav of the town. He told him, Rabbi, the people here are so rude. They look at my new house and they're laughing at me. They're ridiculing me. The Rav asks him, where are you building this palace? And he says, on that parcel of land. And the Rav smiles. And he says, you are also mocking me? And the Rav tells him, that plot of land is actually a lake. Now in the winter, it's frozen over, and it's covered over by branches and earth and debris. Come June, the lake will melt and your expensive mansion will be enveloped by water. And that is why they are laughing. Yosef said, Sumani Elokim, despite all my accomplishments, I've placed Hashem above everything else. And that was his message to all future generations. Physical possessions may serve you well for a while, but there comes a time when it will all dissipate. And all that's left over is your Torah and mitzvahs. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.